Welcome to Open for Discussion, a University of Sydney podcast, looking at research through a personal and critical lens. I'm your host, Chris Neff. Today in my office, I'm chatting with Dr. Shumi Akhtar, a senior lecturer and researcher at the University of Sydney, with a focus on corporate finance, multinationals, and international finance. Wait, stop, I know what you're thinking. This is a podcast about tax. But I want you to stay, and I want you to listen, because Dr. Shumi Akhtar is one of the most fascinating people you will ever hear. Stay tuned and listen to this. All right, so we're here on Open for Discussion at the University of Sydney with Dr. Shumi Akhtar. First of all, did I pronounce your name
correctly?
That was all right.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Perfect.
Can you tell me a little bit about how much of the global financial dollar or yen or pound is going through tax shelters or tax havens or tax avoidance schemes?
To be quite frank, that's right in the core of my research at this stage, and it is very complex to calculate. However, I can share one or few statistics that's been around.
Don't give it away for free.
No, this is I'm sure it is public already. $100 to $250 billion, and that's been lost as a result of tax avoidance. That's for all around the world. Now, how much of that belongs to Australia or per country, we don't know. They're making some guesstimates based on their GDP or some population. But, you know, things are far more complex. So, therefore, I'm staying away giving you an amount right at this stage.
You should write a book, in fact.
I should.
You should. And when it comes out, we'll have it in the podcast.
I'll do that.
So can you tell me a little bit about what brought you to doing your research?
Sure. So doing research in this area in terms of tax avoidance and multinationals, first of all, there hasn't been much done over the last whole decade, but slowly it is changing because of the active action that's been taken by Australian government and also some of the other governments around the world, and especially when there is a critical need for us to raise revenues. So that's one thing. And secondly, I'm a firm believer that research that we do, if it has got some practical implication and helps the society, I think that's a good research. So therefore, I hope that some of the research that I'm doing, it will be able to have some impact in the policy debate or policy reforms, and just to make a better financial system and better tax system.
And can I push you on that a little bit? Because picking tax avoidance and safe havens is quite a specific area of study. What brought you to tax havens?
Sure. So there's not much of a clarity what actually it means. Like when you hear about tax avoidance, it is often mistaken for as if like it's a criminal act. In fact, it is not. Tax evasion is a criminal act. For example, if the company is committing tax avoidance, they may be doing it because it's just there. It's just a matter of knowing it and taking advantage of it. And then they're not doing anything illegal per se. Tax avoidance, technically speaking, is not really, so far, some of the evidence that I have seen, they haven't done anything wrong. They have done it by the rules. And if the rules allows them to do so, they're just clever how they're doing it. So therefore, we need to really understand the full extent of this avoidance and evasion.
So we're sitting in an office, my office, and we're surrounded by books. And I just want to note for the record that I'm going to probably declare all my books.
Yeah.
And it's probably $2,000 of books. And I will be using them as a tax deduction because I use them for my work.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the threshold between me doing it and me, you know, me playing by the rules and the spirit of the rules, and then a company that goes beyond it and is paying 1% in taxes?
That's the thing. There's no threshold at the moment. Therein lies the problem. There's no maximum or minimum how much you can claim as a tax deduction. So it's all, for example, for you, you know, $2,000 worth of book is probably enough for your work. On the other hand, I'm also an academic. Let's say I also need to rely on books, but my books are far more expensive. Maybe I'm spending $10,000. So from the tax authority, there is no minimum or maximum per se. So therefore, you can see this variation across multinationals.
Are there certain sectors of multinationals that are more prone to using more loopholes or tax deductions or tax avoidance schemes than another?
Yes, definitely. It's a sector based, and most often you see it in the high tech industries and also in the mining industries, because technology moves so fast. So therefore, they have to grow much bigger. So to grow much bigger, they need to, you know, rely on expansions, and therefore to do that they need to rely on borrowings and so on and so forth. So their expenses are very different than a traditional company.
And we've, you know, or at least I have, you know, beat up on tax avoidance generally. Is there good bits about companies that avoid taxes?
Look, the way I see it is this. Let's say a company avoids paying $10 tax. Now, that $10 tax either could be contributed to the economy, as the government will claim it as a tax revenue, or the multinationals can, or a company can keep it to themselves. Now, the way I see it is, who is actually going to contribute more by using that $10? To me, that's more important, rather than seeing whether it comes to the government's pocket or it stays in the company's pocket. That's how I see it. Now, of course, it's not a very easy to be able to understand that unless you really know the cost benefit.
Like, I want the $10.
We all do, right? Yes. We all do. We all think that we should keep it. Now, we have to see it more in a bigger perspective. It's the net benefit. What is going to contribute more to the society? And that's how we should go by.
And wasn't I reading in your research that multinationals that utilize tax avoidance schemes are also among the highest that actually pay taxes?
That's right, yeah. So interestingly enough, as much as we have been hearing on the news and in a lot of media headlines that multinationals, they are not paying their fair share of tax. In fact, on average, multinationals are the one who is paying more tax than the domestic corporations. So obviously, multinationals are paying, but I guess the question is, are they paying enough? Okay, so that's what the problem is.
You're listening to Open for Discussion, a University of Sydney podcast. And with me today is Dr. Shumi Akhtar from the University of Sydney's Business School. And today, we're talking about a topic you can't avoid, tax avoidance. To find out more about the University of Sydney's research, visit sydney.edu.au/news. Can I ask, within your research, because this sounds really fascinating, we don't talk about the difference between tax avoidance and tax evasion. We don't think of ourselves as tax avoiders, even though everyone who takes a deduction is. We don't think about the fact that something around 50% of all of the financial income in the world goes through tax havens. Mm. We don't. So is there an effort in Australia to do, like, in terms of your research and what you're doing, is there an effort to really get a handle on this? Because, I mean, we're throwing around numbers of $200 billion and it would be nice to have some hard, like you say, some hard numbers and some real data.
Sure. So one thing I can tell you now is the top 500 multinationals around the world, and only 10 of those are actually Australian-based. In any case, on average, what I found is that the multinationals, they have got 9 times more long-term debt. The companies that they've avoided tax, right, paying tax, they have 9 times more long-term debt than the company, multinational companies that they didn't avoid tax. Now, what is the difference, or why we should be worried, let's say, about that 9 times more debt that they have? Now, debt can be seen as a mechanism by the multinationals to take advantage of tax deduction. For example, they may raise their debt, or they may borrow from a country where interest expense is very low, meaning, you know, if you borrow money, what happens? When you borrow money from the bank, you have to pay the bank some form of interest. So those multinationals, what they do is they borrow money from a country where they can get the best deal, meaning borrowing cost is very low to almost zero, doesn't cost them anything. But then what they do a intercompany loan because through their subsidiaries, mm-hmm. because they're networked. I mean, they have got other subsidiaries around the world. So they find a country where their tax system allows interest tax deduction, and they will be claiming the maximum they can, meaning, you know, or they will be saying, oh, okay, well, our borrowing cost was, let's say, 6 or 7%, whereas they are paying actually nothing as a cost of raising the debt. Now, that is more like a double dipping. A, then it never actually cost them, and B, now they are claiming actually more, getting more from the tax man into their pocket.
That's
now,
totally double dipping.
It is double dipping. Now, so these are the things now Australian government has taken a number of initiatives. Now, how successful they would be, it's a matter of time, because we only, as of the beginning of this year, we implemented this country-by-country reporting system. So we get to see in each of those countries, wherever the multinational has its subsidiaries, how much they're raising, how much they're earning, so on and so forth.
So can I ask, how much of a role do you think accounting firms and banks, you know, people looking for the loopholes play in this? I mean, is it the companies or is it the firms that are advising the companies that we should be a little bit more critical of?
Look, obviously lawyers, they know all the rules and how the jurisdiction works. And when it comes to accountants, they know more of tax. Again, I would hope that the accountants, they do follow their due diligence and follow the rules. And therefore, if someone is eligible, sure, they can do the tax deductions. But it was quite disturbing to find that, especially in the Panama Papers revelation, that most of the money that's been laundered around or shifted around the country, it was by the help of, you know, accountants or legal firms, which was rather quite disturbing because they are the one who should be really having high respect for all the rules or policies that we set out. That's where we as a government should to step in and try to be a bit more tighter in a sense that they should be liable for or held responsible for that.
And how is Australia with respect to regulation of firms or banks or tax loopholes?
Okay, so far, again, in the top 500 Financial Times big multinationals, Australia's four of the big banks' names are there, right? Now,
how high up the list?
Pretty high.
Pretty high, okay.
Pretty high, okay. Now, that was quite interesting. And in terms of whether Australia should be really concerned, again, we need some data-driven evidence to be able to say it for sure. At this stage, it does look like, yes, their names are there. But to me, being an empiricist, I don't really conclude anything based on hearsay stories. And so far, any of the evidence that I have or any of the statistics that I have heard so far, either there's no real source of data. What data are they actually using to come up with those statistics? We don't know that. And even the OECD's that is statistics that I just gave you earlier, when I did a bit of a dig around, it is an aggregate measure. So we really don't know how much of it is actually belongs to the multinationals or it is just a corporations on average or it is all the tax evaders. I mean, individuals could be even tax evaders. We don't know that. I mean, Australian government, they spent $8 million only to recover $2 million exactly. In terms of tax revenue by catching whoever was evading. And then I go, all I needed is like a million. I mean, like 1/8 of the money. I could have given you better outcome. And you'd be amazed. I got some phone call. I received some phone calls from the ATO, you know, the Australian Tax Office, basically saying, asking me, where did you get your data? Like your results, can you give me your databases and then I was just shocked. I was going, you guys are the one who should be having this information in the first place.
Yep.
Sorry.
You're listening to Open for Discussion, the University of Sydney podcast. Again, joining me is Dr. Shumi Akhtar from the University of Sydney School of Business. Can I ask one more question, which
sure.
is, so we've talked about tax avoidance. We've talked about how people get out of paying tax. What's good about paying tax?
First of all, it is a form of income from government's perspective, which they tend to use it for improving the infrastructure or education sector or healthcare system, right? So that's a good thing about tax. But one has to be careful of by the name of raising tax, but if you are actually harming, on the other hand, like, for example, multinational brings a lot of good things in any country. For example, the innovation they bring in, the number of employment or number of people they employ, as well as some of the new products or services they bring in. There's another research I'm currently doing is that multinationals happens to be the one who is taking a lead in keeping the balance between the gender employment, whereas that's not the case in many other companies, right? It is often claimed that the females, they takes them longer to go up the ladder or at the hierarchy, there's less females, but that's not the case when it comes to multinational corporations.
I have to ask you a shark question.
Sure.
Because I study sharks, and it sounds like there's lots of sharks in the tax avoidance waters, what have you. What would you say is the sharkiest behavior you've seen? Is it by the banks, or is it by the firms, or is it by the companies, or it might be the lawyers or accountants? Who's got the sharpest teeth?
Well, on the surface, looks like companies has got the sharpest teeth, but for them to have the sharpest teeth, I think the dentists are the lawyers and accountants.
Oh, okay.
If that makes any sense.
So the lawyers are essentially sharpening the teeth of the
lawyers and the accountants. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yep. Well, thank you for playing along with my metaphor. So what do we do? We've got tax avoidance, but there's no threshold. So people could be getting away with murder, but it's not illegal. And then we've got companies that are improving gender parity. And what do we make of it?
So, sure. So what I'm trying to do through my research is that I would like to determine, doing the cost-benefit analysis from government's perspective and society's perspective, and come up with the optimal level of tax. That way, we are all better off. The society is better off, the multinational is better off, and so is the government. And that's what I'm trying to work on.
Optimal.
Finding an optimal level of tax.
I love that. The optimal level of tax. And I feel like I'm paying above the optimal level of tax.
It's a level where everyone is better off.
That's exactly
what it should be.
I think that's fantastic, and I think that's really important research. I'm glad the Senate is listening to your research. I'd like to thank you again for being here with us, Dr. Shumi Akhtar from the University of Sydney School of Business. Thank you,
Chris. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Open for Discussion, a University of Sydney podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or on SoundCloud. You can find me on Twitter @ChristopherNeff.